Eddie Hearn, Matchroom Boxing Chair, AJ's promoter, of course. The fight is going to be live on 5 Live tonight from 8:30.
It will. And we will be back tomorrow from 7.
Don't come in an hour early.
No, okay. Not in an hour early.
Extra hour. Stay with us on 5 Live. Patrick Kielty up next.
The UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
It's 9 o'clock with the news for 5 Live. I'm Carl Hartley. Fulham Football Club say they're working to establish if anyone at the club has been affected by sexual abuse following allegations against their former owner, Mohamed Al-Fayed. Dozens of women say the billionaire sexually assaulted them while working at his department store, Harrods. A former manager of the women's team has told the BBC that Fulham put extra precautions in place to protect female players from Mr. Al-Fayed, who died last year. Sports Minister Lisa Nandy says she'll be speaking to sporting bodies.
These allegations are historic. My concern is twofold. Firstly, that the victims must have justice. And secondly, that we have to have processes in place to make sure that this can't happen again. These are conversations that I'll have with different sporting bodies.
Hezbollah has confirmed a senior military commander, Ibrahim Akil, was among those that killed in an Israeli airstrike in Beirut. A senior UN official has warned the Middle East is at risk of a conflict that could dwarf the devastation in the region so far. Labour members are gathering in Liverpool for the party's conference. Sir Keir Starmer's been facing growing criticism after it emerged he received more than £16,000 worth of clothes and glasses. He's now announced he'll refuse any further donations. Tom Baldwin is a former director of communications for Labour and Sir Keir's biographer.
I think Keir Starmer's pretty frustrated. I think he's upset that his wife has been dragged into this controversy over the last week, something that he never really wanted. And, you know, she never really wanted to be part of this political world and just wanted to look nice for the election. And I think we have to be quite careful about keeping this in proportion.
Gavin Robinson will make his first leader's speech to the Democratic Unionist Party conference in Belfast this afternoon. He's expected to promise a new approach after the DUP was reduced from 8 MPs to 5 at the general election in July. And the owners of the zoo in Telford, which has spent all week searching for Cinnamon, the capybara, says she seems fit and well after her adventure. The giant rodent was recaptured yesterday evening in a pond in Woodland next to the zoo. Keeper Will Durrell gave us this update.
She seems very happy to be back. At the moment, she's back with her brother, and then later on today, she'll be reintroduced back to her parents. But she looks nice and fit and healthy. You know, the best thing for her in the long run is to be back with us, because we can then monitor her health, make sure she's nice and fit and healthy, and lives out a long and fruitful life.
Right, let's get some sport. Here's James Gregg.
Carl, thank you very much indeed. Plenty to think about in today's Premier League programme with updates of West Ham-Chelsea to kick it all off in the lunchtime game. And many eyes, of course, will be on Leicester versus Everton at 3. The Toffees looking to avoid five straight defeats to start the season. More previews with managers coming throughout the morning during the sports segments on the programmes. The new Rugby Union Premiership season kicked off with a repeat of last season's final. This time, though, it was Bath who avenged their defeat in that final. They beat Northampton 38 points to 16. Southport lad Matt Baldwin leads the PGA Championship at Wentworth by 2 shots heading into the last 2 rounds. Rory McIlroy is 4 off the pace, and the weigh-in for the All-British heavyweight clash between Anthony Joshua and Daniel Dubois took place in Trafalgar Square yesterday evening. Joshua weighed in 4 pounds heavier than Dubois ahead of that IBF title fight. There are 96,000 expected at Wembley later, which will be a post-war record for a boxing bout, but minuscule in comparison to the queue outside the BBC today when Paddy Keelty finishes up with his show. 2 hours to go until then. He's next here on 5 Live.
Every morning, Rick and I wake up with you on 5 Live Breakfast.
5 Live Breakfast with us two.
People will have their views on the kit. All I'm saying is that the font on the back of the shirt is unacceptable. I hate
Edwards
the font. Edwards slams font and will continue to slam font, I'm afraid.
5 Live Breakfast
with Rachel Burden and Rick Edwards.
Re Comic Sans. I was made redundant once and the letter informing me of this joy was in the dreaded Comic Sans.
That's unacceptable.
Doesn't it just cheer you up when you see a bit of Comic Sans?
Not even slightly.
5 Live Breakfast.
It's weekdays from 6 on BBC Sounds.
This is 5 Live.
Saturday morning with Patrick Kilty.
Ah, good morning, folks. There you are. Just after 9 o'clock. Thank you so much to James Gregg for the big up or the big down. We're going to be chatting to James a little bit later on. We're back. We're back. I was off playing golf with Rory McIlroy last week. He said, talking up his part. If you want to check out my Instagram, you'll see that is kind of true. Kind of not. We survived. We are here. We're back in Belfast. We have a smile on our face. We got Jill through the glass. We got Michael. Craig is steering the ship. It's Saturday, the 21st of September.
Do you remember?
Aye, aye.
When it first died, September.
Never remember. Do you know what? Until I've heard this song, I had no idea that this date was in this song. What does that say? What does that say about the state that I normally in whenever I'm dancing to this? We're going to play this for Helen, Craig, our studio manager's mother-in-law. She's going to hate us for this. Apparently it's her birthday. What's going on, kids? I'm going to try to jock it. We've got football. City Arsenal on Sunday. Boxing Joshua Dubois. Oh dear, oh dear. Thanks for saving me from myself there. That's the correct music. Oh, that's going to be a lovely fight tonight. Joshua versus Dubois. I mean, it's no Joe Bugner versus Frank Bruno, but I mean, we'll give it a go. F1 Singapore Grand Prix. I believe the Coors are playing at the after party at that. Had a little look at the Insta machine this morning. Caroline was setting up her drums. Rugby, it's the opening weekend of the Premiership in England. We are going to be joined by Les Dennis, the god of acting. That is Les. He's graced her TV and theatre across the land for the best part of 50 years. He's back. He's currently on tour with Ghost, the musical. I mean, what's not to love about that combo? We're going to be catching up with Les, talking all about Ghost, his incredible career. I'm going to be reminding him of someone that we've both worked with that he may not know. We also have Andy Zaltzman on the show. And he will be touring the nation with his brand new stand-up show called Zaltgeist. Very, very soon. He's also on the latest Taskmaster, which airs at 9 p.m. every Thursday on Channel 4. We had Babatunde on a couple of weeks ago. Andy also on the show. Andy will be here at 9:50. And because he's the official statistician, nobody was betting I was going to be able to get that out of Taskmaster. He manages to say statistician and trips over test match. He's going to be taking on a young cricket fan and be the commentator today. We're also going to be talking to the Jay-Z and Beyonce of Cooking Jonte Road and Lisa Faulkner. You can catch them on their weekend kitchen every Saturday, 11:40, ITV1, ITVX. They're going to be here talking about their cookbook, which apparently has just dropped. We're going to be chatting to them. 10:15, we're going to be playing Kids Take Charge with 10-year-old Prudence as she tries to win a day of fun. Oh, wouldn't we all love a day of fun? And we'll be joined by Hattie Whitehead in the Five Live Lounge, who sounds like this. Sound of Hattie Whitehead. We're going to be testing Hattie's skills in the Five Live Lounge very, very soon. Before 11 o'clock, it's a very simple concept. from a very simple host. We take your favourite football chants, our musical guest puts their own spin on them. And this is what happened last week when Cut Capers sang this dodgy classic for Chelsea's English attacking duo.
If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. Palmer on the centre, Marwanki on the wing. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for me. Palmer on the centre, Marwanki on the wing. Here we go.
Little bit of Bob and Vic there, thrown in for good measure. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for us. Give us a shout. Let us know what you're up to today. We want to hear from you. Are you off to watch any sport? Are you off to play any sport? Are you? Who's your team? Who's your company? What's the snacks? What's the drinks? Give us a shout. WhatsApp us 08085 909 693. And we could be having a little chat later on. There's a huge day of sport, as always, coming your way here on Five Live. I'm feeling Chappers will be here for midday with Five Live Sports, live commentary. Liverpool Bournemouth at 3 p.m. with the mighty Ian Dennis and Chris Sutton on Five Live Sports Extra. This afternoon, commentary of the second one-day international between England and Australia at Headingley. Tonight, live commentary of Anthony Joshua, Daniel Dubois. Coverage gets underway at 8:30, which, as we all know, with any boxing event, means they'll be in the ring at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's not happening. It's in the UK. And at 5 p.m, Five Live will be at Selhurst Park for Crystal Palace versus Man United. Mark Warburton will be joining Alistair Bruceball. How good would that be? Just nipping down to Selhurst Park, a bit of Palace United, on to Wembley for the boxing. Ali, is that what you're doing?
Well, I'm doing the first bit, Patrick. Good morning. Yes, doing commentary with Mark on Crystal Palace against Manchester United. And then I'll be in the car listening to a little bit of 606. So if you're talking a sort of heavyweight pairings, we've obviously got Joshua Dubois tonight. Coverage on Five Live from 8:30. As you say, I'm not exactly sure what time the fight starts. But you've got Sutton and Savage on 606, you see, after Palace Manchester United. You've got an hour of 6:06 with that heavyweight pairing, and then you go into Joshua Dubois. So that's what I'll be listening to.
So good. So Palace playing a team called Manchester United who scored 10 goals in a week. Is that a misprint?
No. 7-0 against Barnsley in the League Cup. And I saw them last Saturday in the lunchtime kickoff beat Southampton by 3-0.
Yeah.
Not sure that the scoreline there, Patrick, I don't know if you saw it, sort of fully told the story there. Southampton, I thought, were very good for the first half hour. Then they missed their penalty. Inanna made the save. Manchester United went up the other end and scored a couple of goals. And I still think with Manchester United, I mean, you tell me, Patrick, the jury is still massively out. And I think this game is really interesting because not so long ago, back in May, at the end of last season, when Palace were flying, they stuffed Manchester United 4-0. And there was all sorts of talk then about, right, that's it for Erik ten Hag. This can't continue. They need a new manager. Then he went and won the FA Cup. Then they still sort of looked into getting a new manager, decided not to do that. He's back in charge, and it's 2 wins and 2 defeats. And it's all about, you know, progress. Are they making progress, Manchester United? It's very sort of 1 step forward and 2 step back all the time, I think.
Okay, let me put it this way. If I thought they were lucky last week, if Southampton score the penalty, United go on to lose the game.
Possibly.
Where does that leave Erik ten Hag?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, Patrick, they made the decision in the summer to continue with him. They think he's the best man for the job. So making a change this early in the season, you know, would not be the right thing to do. But you just want, I mean, I think today is a good yardstick for progress for Manchester United. Crystal Palace haven't started the season brilliantly. They're yet to win in the Premier League this season. You know, but if Manchester United are serious about making progress, getting back up there, regularly being in the Champions League, you have to go to Selhurst Park and win games like this evening, like they always used to do.
I mean, this is what I always tell the bosses at Five Live. I've been in the job here now for 2 years. I keep telling them that this level of mediocrity on this show is progress. And you know, they say they're backing me. Does that mean I won't be here next week? Is that how it works?
No, I thought you're still good. You're still good, Patrick. You're still good.
Talk to me about Villa. Big game for them in the Champions League.
I was there over in Bern on Tuesday, Patrick. They were really impressive, Aston. But it's going to be really interesting to see how they sort of manage the dual commitments of keeping it going in the Premier League, playing in the Champions League as well in this new format. But I have to say, they took sort of 15 minutes to settle into that game and then just completely dominated it. Morgan Rodgers, in particular, who was signed from Middlesbrough last season, is really coming on fast. He was very, very impressive. And I think that's a really good example of, you know, Unai Emery, the coach, doing a great job improving players, improving the team. He has that fantastic record in Europe, and they got the big derby today, 3 o'clock, 6 3 o'clock kickoffs in the Premier League this afternoon. So we've got our commentary at Liverpool Bournemouth. That's Ian Dennis and Chris Sutton there, but they'll be bouncing around all the grounds, all the goals as they go in. Saturday, Five Live Sports Saturday afternoon is just not to be missed.
There's nothing like it. There's just nothing like it. Before we let you go, Jay-Z has apparently been linked. I can tell with a laugh there, Ali, that that's how serious you're taking
this. Where's this going?
Apparently, potentially in the frame to buy Everton.
Everton.
Because 99 problems isn't enough.
There we go.
What do we think?
I should have thought of a line like that. Oh, I don't know, Patrick. I mean, you know, Everton on the field have issues, and off the field, it's been uncertain for quite a while, hasn't it? So, I think let's watch it play out and see what happens. I'm not entirely sure on that one, but that is a massive game this afternoon as well. Leicester against Everton in the Premier League, both of them down at the wrong end of the table. So I think first and foremost, I mean, Sean Dyche is not going to be bothered about Jay-Z, is he? Sean Dyche is bothered about trying to win a game against Leicester this afternoon.
Sean Dyche and Jay-Z, that is the duet that we all want to hear.
Sean Dyche loves his music, though.
Really?
You often see him. Yeah, no, don't you? I've seen all those sort of social media clips of him at, you know, gigs and cons. I mean, I'm not sure about his Jay-Z likings or not, but he's a big music fan. I know that.
I mean, that could be the new Tom Brady. Jay-Z heading to Everton. Ali, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Live commentary, Palace versus Manchester United is on Five Live at 5:30. Almost 20 past nine on a Saturday morning, but just because it's a Saturday doesn't mean the kids of the UK are having a day off. Oh no, as usual, grown-ups are ruining their lives. No, you can't put the football gloves on the dog and make him look like a reindeer. What are you doing pouring Prime on your Cocoa Pops? No, I can't fish Lego Chewbacca out of the toilet. Oh, that's not Chewbacca. This is a time where we give a young person a chance to turn the tables and take control of their lives, though. It's Kids Take Charge.
Kids Take Charge.
And on this fine September morn, I am excited and delighted to welcome to the show our Kids Take Charge player today. It is Prudence Vaughan. Good morning, Prudence.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Tell us, where do you live, Prudence?
I live in Belfast.
I live in Belfast. Who's that rude person trying to talk to you in the background when I'm trying to talk to you?
That's my mummy.
That's your mummy. What's your mummy called?
Stephanie
Vaughan, Prudence Vaughan. Am I allowed to ask a question, Prudence? Are you guys proper posh?
You're thinking about it.
No.
Mum says definitely not. Definitely not. How old are you, Prudence?
I'm 10.
You are 10. Give us a fascinating fact about yourself before we play the game.
I think a fascinating fact about me is I can swim really well.
Amazing. And how often do you swim?
Every week.
Okay. Are you 50 metres? Are you 100 metres? Are we going to be seeing you in the Olympics at some point?
Hopefully.
Okay, this is great. And I'm just thinking, I mean, you could be a swimmer. I'm just trying to imagine this. And in lane two, it's Prudence Vaughan. And see, that Prudence Vaughan sounds like a swimmer. It also sounds, you could be an actress starring Prudence Vaughan. Does that sound quite nice?
Yes, it does.
Over to our science expert here in the BBC. It's Prudence Vaughan. That also sounds good. You have a name, which means you can take over the world, Prudence. So Stephanie's in the background. Tell us a little funny fact about your mum.
That she steals my socks to wear them.
Is this because she doesn't wash her own?
I think she just likes my socks.
Oh, she just likes your socks. Stephanie, is this true, or is Prudence telling Porky's?
No, it's true. It's all true. I like the frills on the socks.
Oh, you've got the frills on the top of the socks.
Yes.
Loving your work, Prudence. Loving your work. So, Prudence, if you win today, tell us what you would like to take control of.
I would like to get a play date with my best friend.
Brilliant. Give a shout out. Who's your best friend?
Rosa.
And what would you and Rosa do on this play date if you take control?
Hopefully just have a really fun day.
Prudence, I don't think I could love you anymore. Some kids come on and they say they want this and I want mum to buy me this and I want to go here. You just go on, just want to hang with my homie. Just want to hang with my homie. How do you feel about that, Stephanie? Are you okay to play for the play date?
I'm good with that. Absolutely.
Amazing. Now, there is a forfeit. And just because Prudence is very polite and also very nice, we have to be harsh with the forfeit. What is the forfeit if you beat Prudence today?
The forfeit is an afternoon of chores.
What? What? Yeah. So what type of chores would you like Prudence to do?
Oh, well, I have a list. We have dishes. We have hoovering. We have dusting.
Yes.
We've walking the dog.
Yes.
What else?
Maybe washing your socks so you don't have to borrow hers.
Absolutely, so I don't have to wear Prudence's, yes.
Yes, I see what you're saying. What's the doggy called?
Pearl.
Pearl. Is Pearl a singer?
Pearl is a singer.
Great. Sorry. People of a certain age.
Literally,
that is a dog joke. It's at a frequency that only few people understand. Okay, so look, here's how it's going to work, Prudence. If you win, you get a play date with Rosa. If you lose, you're going to be doing the chores and going to go shopping with Mum. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Okay, so look, here's how it works. You're going to get three questions on each other's specialist subject. Prudence, the subject we're going to be asking your mum about is what?
K-pop.
K-pop. Stephanie, how's the K-pop knowledge?
I actually have been trying to read up on my knowledge, but we'll see. We'll see.
Basically, what you're saying is you Googled it.
Zero.
You Googled it for 3 minutes when you were having a cheeky glass of Sauvignon Blanc last night when you knew you were
Absolutely.
On the radio this morning.
Yep.
Loving your work. Prudence, the subject your mum has chosen for you to answer. Bear in mind, there's a huge boxing match at Wembley tonight. The subject is Rocky Balboa. Are you familiar, Prudence, with the work of Rocky Balboa?
I would say I'm not too good with it, but I wouldn't say I'm too bad. I think I'm kind of in the middle.
Okay, so you've maybe seen the movie.
No, I've not seen the movie.
Okay. I've not seen the movie. So basically, you've done a cheeky Google this morning while you were having your Cocoa Pops.
Yes.
Okay. This is great.
Everybody's prepped. Everybody's primed. Yeah. Everybody's ready to go. Let's play Kids Take Charge. Oh, Stephanie. Prudence.
Right.
Here we go. Question one for 10-year-old Prudence on Rocky Balboa. In which movie did Rocky Balboa first appear? Is it A, Rocky? Is it B, Mona? Is it C, Jaws?
Okay, I think it's A, Rocky.
You do get an extra mark if you can point out that I pronounced Moana wrong. I can tell you that Rocky is the correct answer.
Yay!
Subliminal slip from me there. He's a moaner.
I knew it wouldn't be Jaws because I've watched Jaws before.
You've watched it? Wow, Prudence. This is good work. Question one for Mum Stephanie on K-pop. BTS are one of the most successful boy bands in K-pop. Their name is an acronym for a South Korean phrase. But what does the phrase mean in English? Is it bring in the sound, dreams to reality, bulletproof Boy Scouts?
Bring in the sound.
It's a confident answer. I can tell you that that is. What's the wrong answer? Bulletproof Boy Scouts. Prudence.
Yes, it is.
I love it. What I also love, Stephanie, is that you actually don't trust me, that I'm giving you the right answer. You go, what's the man on the radio talking about, Prudence? Oh, no, he's actually right. He's right.
Oh, God.
Right. Question two, Prudence, for a 2-0 lead. The character Rocky Balboa is played by Sylvester Stallone, but what is Stallone's nickname? Is it A, Silly Stallone? Is it B, Sleepy Stallone? Or is it C, Sly Stallone?
I think it is C, Sly.
Prudence, I can tell you that that is correct answer, Sly Stallone. Come on. We're just doing a little scores here. Hang on. That's my 3 and my 4s and carry my 2s. 2-0. 2-0 to Prudence. Stephanie, this has escalated quite quickly.
Yeah, it has.
If you get this wrong, Prudence has won.
Okay.
If you get this right, you're still in the game.
Okay.
Here comes the question. Which Blackpink music video was the first by a K-pop group to reach 2 billion views on YouTube? Was it A, How Do You Like That? Was it B, Doo 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 Doo? Or was it C, Bumbaya?
Not telling you?
I'm going to go with A, How Do You Like That?
How do you like that to stay in the game? I can tell you that that is... It's the wrong answer!
Kids, take charge.
She couldn't even make a game off it, Prudence.
No, sorry.
I mean, beyond rubbish from Stephanie.
Yeah, I admit that.
Prudence, I'm assuming that you knew that answer as well?
Yes.
Of course you did. Rocky Balboa, brilliant knowledge in Rocky Balboa. It means that you have taken charge. You're having your play date. How does it feel?
It feels amazing.
When are you guys going to hang out, do you think?
When we do it next week.
Next week?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, you're going to do it next week because obviously your mum has to do the chores this week that she thought that you were going to do. The washing, the cleaning, walking peril.
Yeah.
And washing some socks so she doesn't have to wear yours.
Yeah, I have to get over this shock.
You got to get... I mean, you say shock. Stephanie, when you listen this back, it wasn't a shock to anybody else.
No, okay.
Prudence, you have won. You've been an absolute superstar. Thank you so, so much for coming on. She's off to have a play date with Rosa, her mate. That was Kids Take Charge. If you have someone that would like to play and take charge of their life next week, give us a shout. 85058 on the text, WhatsApp 0808 599 693. You can email patrick@bbc.co.uk. Andy Zaltzman still to come, John Turode and Lisa Faulkner still on the show, but next up we will be joined by the mighty Les Dennis, all after the latest news and sport here on 5 Live. It's 9:30.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
Thanks, Patrick. Fulham Football Club say they're working to establish if anyone at the club has been affected by allegations against their former owner, Mohamed Al-Fayed. Dozens of women allege he sexually assaulted them while they were working at his department store, Harrods. The billionaire died last year. Hezbollah says that two of its senior commanders have been killed in airstrikes on the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Hamas says Israel will pay the price for the deaths. Meanwhile, a senior UN official has warned the Middle East is at risk of a conflict that could dwarf the devastation in the region. So far, fears are growing in the region of an all-out war. And the Deputy Prime Minister says that she's committed to making irreversible changes to devolution laws to make sure Northerners are no longer dictated to by Whitehall. Angela Rayner has promised to expand devolution to more regions ahead of Labour's conference in Liverpool. Now with the sport, here's James Craig.
Thank you very much indeed. At 12:30, we'll be bringing you updates of Chelsea at West Ham, and then from 3, Anfield, our commentary base. But with 3 goals in his last 2 matches, Manchester United's Marcus Rashford appears to be playing his way back to form after a difficult end to last season, and his manager Erik ten Hag is happy to see it.
Not any football career is only the way up. It's also called the way down, and you have to deal with it. Marcus Rashford is also experienced, so he knows when there are setbacks how to fight back, how to set his career, how to set his performance. So he took control of it, and I think he's on the way back. And now, yeah, he has to continue and to progress.
Well, of course, Crystal Palace did the double over Manchester United last season. 5:30 is when you can hear the first clash between the two this season from Selhurst Park. That's after Sports Report here on 5 Live. And of course, it's after our 3 o'clock commentary base. Liverpool at home to Bournemouth. The Reds looking to bounce back from their defeat at home to Nottingham Forest last time out. The manager, Arne Slot, says that they have to be better this week.
For me, and I said this a few times before, we have to give credits to what Nottingham Forest did. They made it really hard for us, made it really difficult for us. And that's always the main resistance, the team you face, and not the amount of games you play or other things. It's always about the resistance the other team gives you.
Elsewhere, Anthony Joshua said he's still in the battlefield and quashed any suggestion of nearing the end of his career as he weighed in heaviest for tonight's world title challenge against Daniel Dubois. The 2-time unified world heavyweight champion Joshua, who's now 34, takes on 27-year-old Dubois for the IBF belt at Wembley Stadium tonight. Joshua won't be taking his opponent lightly.
I can make him better than he is due to the fact that I don't perform to my full capability. You don't only go in for physical preparation. If you're doing that, then you're probably going to get beat because Everyone comes physically prepared. So mentally, I know where I'm at and I know exactly what I want to do.
So we'll be bringing you commentary tonight live from Wembley across 5 Live and 5 Sports Extra and the BBC Sports website. So it starts on Sports Extra from 7 and then switches to here on 5 Live at 8:30. The British number 2 tennis player Emma Raducanu retired from her career open quarterfinal against Daria Kasatkina with a foot injury. She needed a medical timeout after the 5th game and decided that she couldn't continue after losing the opening set 6 games to 1. In the new Rugby Union Premiership season today, Exeter take on Leicester before Saracens, and their new skipper Mario Itoje travel to Gloucester. The action, however, did get underway last night with a repeat of last year's final. Bath taking on champions Northampton Saints, and they got a bit of revenge for losing that final, did Bath, with a 38-16 win in front of their home fans at the Rec. Here's Ollie Lawrence, a try scorer last night, who did let his mind wander back a little to Twickenham in May.
We didn't touch on it too much, but we definitely knew in the back of the minds that we probably owed ourselves one.
I mean, the final's not played in September. But yeah, to have them back at home after everything happened last year was, start of a new chapter for us.
Wales women, meanwhile, have their first win over Australia in 7 attempts. Kate Williams crashed over with the last move of the match to secure a 31-24 win at Rodney Parade in Newport. And Southport's Matthew Baldwin is leading the way at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth, a second round 66, which had 7 birdies in it. Saw him end Friday 13 under par at the top of the leaderboard, 2 shots in front of the chasing pack. Rory McIlroy is a few shots further back. He's at 9 under.
Saturday morning with Patrick Keelty.
Welcome back to the show, folks. It is Saturday morning on 5 Live, 25 to 10. We're here until 11 o'clock. We have the legend that is Les Dennis coming your way. Get in touch if you want to chat to Les. Any questions for him? Rachel in Leicester says, I'm off to the Joshua Dubois fight this evening. I'm very excited, Paddy. This is going to be the 4th AJ fight I've been to. I'm taking my daughter and her partner for their first live boxing event. Now, this is where Rachel, this is how stuff starts, Rachel. Rachel is saying, there's also a strong rumour that Liam Gallagher is playing a short set just before the main event. Yeah, so basically what Rachel's saying is there's going to be a fight just beforehand, then the boxers are going to go out of the ring, then the band are going to... I'm not sure, Rachel. I'm not sure. I think maybe this time next year, Liam Gallagher will be playing Wembley. Maybe not tonight. I'm just putting it out there. Kyle says, give us a shout out to myself and Bobby. We're on the 5.5-hour drive from Portsmouth to Burnley, up the Pompey. That's what it's all about. Out on the motorways, up and down the country, supporting your team. Jed and Spalding says, Paddy, my wife Helen and I are off to watch Leicester versus Everton. My first Foxes match in over 6 months. I've been a bit sick. I'm very excited to get back to the King Power. Wishing you the best for that. It's a big, big game. Someone's going to not be happy after that one, Jed. Keep the coming. 0808 5909 693.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moments with lovers and friends.
The sound of the Beatles in my life. The favourite song of all time of my next guest from the Rubber Soul album. My first guest has been entertaining the nation for over 5 decades. We know and love him as Michael Rodwell from Coronation Street, The Laughter Show. His Mavis impression, oh, that brings me back. Family fortunes for 15 years. Now back with his first love of theatre, treading the boards, currently on tour at a theatre near you in Ghost the Musical in Darlington this week across the UK, well into next year. Good morning, dear boy, Les Dennis.
Morning, Patrick. How are you?
I am very, very well. How is life treating you, sir?
Good, and I'm impressed by you playing that lovely, my favourite song, as you said, The Beatles In My Life.
Look,
yeah, and you've done your research, clearly. We haven't seen each other, I don't think, since we did a lottery show a long, long time ago.
A long, long time ago. We've so much ground to cover. There's someone that I've worked with since we last talked that I know that you worked with, so we're going to be chatting about that. But first, tell us about the tour. Tell us where you are at the minute. I mean, how does it work for someone like you? Do you mix with the rest of the cast, Les, or are you in a tour bus and just breeze in, do your bits, and just and leave the rest of the stuff to the minions?
No, I am absolutely a company member. I love being part of the company. Having done so many years solo, it's just lovely to be with other people and, you know, to get to socialise with them after. But it's a week off this week, so I'm sitting at home right now, which is lovely. I'm going to take the dogs and the kids out pretty soon. I've got young kids at my age,
What do you call young kids now, Les? Because I've got a six-year-old and an eight-year-old.
13, that's pretty young for a 70-year-old.
No way.
Oh, yeah, Eleanor's 16. She's just started a college, and Tom's 13. And is still going through about to start on the big GCSE trail. So I will be going out this morning doing that. But Ghost is a lovely show to do. I'm really enjoying it.
So you are playing, I believe, two roles in this?
Yeah, I play. You'll be relieved to know it's not the Patrick Swayze role. That's played beautifully by Josh Sinclair. Molly is played by Rebecca Lowings, who has the most amazing voice and the emotion of that part. And we have Jackie Dubois, not Daniel, playing the Whoopi Goldberg character. She's fantastic. I play the hospital ghost. That's how it's written in the script. Hospital ghost is one character. And then I play Lionel Ferguson, who is the banker in the second act. If you remember in the film, there's a guy in hospital who is a ghost who tells him he's dead. He says, you know, look, mate, you've gone. It's just after the accident. And Sam can't quite believe what's going on. So I get a lovely song. You gotta let go now to tell him in song that he's dead. There's a tag on your toe now. You're cold now, my man. You died. So
and how's the singing voice, Les?
It's all right. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's an easy song for me. But I've done 42nd Street lately. Hairspray. Did my first opera a couple of years ago.
No way.
Yeah, I was with the English National Opera, no less, in HMS Pinafore. Bit croaky this morning, but that's a Saturday morning voice.
I mean, this is one of the things that so many people know you from a previous life of hosting TV, but talk to me about the stage, talk to me about acting and acting with other people, because if you're a stand-up and you talked about it's nice to be working with other people, people assume Les Dennis will host TV or he will go and he will, you know, do a one-man show. But the love of theatre has always been there, hasn't it?
It's always been there for me. You know, when I recently did Twelfth Night, my first Shakespeare, I was so excited because when I was 17, I went with the school. I actually went to Quarry Bank, the school that John Lennon had gone to before me, 10 years before. Don't ask me, did I know him? And we went with the school to see Twelfth Night in Stratford. And I remember sitting there and going, I want to do that. But I'd already started doing the clubs, the working men's clubs and the cabaret clubs around the country. So I was already up and running. So I always wanted to get back to acting. And I love it. I just love being part of a company. And this is, you know, the show Ghost is with music written by Dave Stewart and Glenn Ballard. So got great pedigree, is the story of the film. It literally is. And when I watched it on the rehearsal, because I only until then had read my parts like we do, I was in bits because the audience at the end of every performance, you can hear them sobbing. It's so moving and uplifting.
You mentioned Twelfth Night. I'm going to mention a little name to you, Prasanna Pawanaraja.
Yeah. Yes, you know, we both have him as friends and work colleagues, don't we? He directed you in a movie recently.
He directed
which
me.
I watched, I thought it was brilliant.
Oh, thank you very much, Les. That is very, very kind. I know that because Prasanna, for anyone who doesn't know, brilliant actor, brilliant writer, brilliant director, and your paths crossed how?
My paths crossed through my niece. My niece Jodie McNee is a full on Shakespearean classical actress. She's about to do David Edgar's new play at Stratford. And she was she was going into, with Prasanna as director, into Venice Preserved, which is a restoration tragedy. And she called me and she said, Uncle Les, she still talks like that, our Jodie. She can do the RP when she wants. But she said, Prasanna, our director's looking for a Liverpool actor to play me dad. And then she said, do you know any? I went, Jode, hello. What she was doing, she was trying me out, seeing if I was interested.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I'll go and meet Prasanna, but, you know, I don't want the part just for nepotism. I'll have to get it. So I went and met Prasanna and got the role, which was, again, you know, a dream come true, having gone to the RSC as a kid to watch, to get on that stage, you know. My mum's no longer with us. If she had been able to see her son and her granddaughter on stage at the RSC, she would be, well, she's watching somewhere and she's very happy about it. You know, if I take the literacy of Ghost, the movie, you know, they are watching, the people that love us.
When you look at your career and you look at the journey and you know, we're talking about, you know, you're up on stage, you know, with Ghost and RSC and all of these things.
Yeah.
Right back to starting out with the clubs and the workerman's clubs. I mean, what was the ambition to get to the acting stage, or is this a journey that has just come your way?
It was a bit of both, because I started doing the clubs at the age of 16. I think I did my first, just on my 17th birthday, I got paid, well, rather than just getting expenses, I got paid £7, which was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
In 1970. So it was a lot of money, and I started doing the clubs. But at the same time, I was still at school with Clive Barker, the horror writer and writer of Hellraiser, Jude Kelly, who went on to and is now very much in a theatre stalwart. She's brilliant. She ran the South Bank for a long time, and she's to work with those people at that age. Doug Bradley, who was Pinhead in the Hellraiser movies, we were all at school together. So my ambition then was like, well, I've got to get back to this one day. So, you know, when Family Fortunes came along, I was able to, because it took 2 to 3 weeks of the year, I could go off and do a rep play at the Watermill. And it was Baptism by Fire, because it was David Hare's Skylight, which is a phenomenal part that Michael Gambon had played, and Bill Nighy, no less. So I took that on, and then I made a conscious effort to always do a play at least once a year to learn the craft.
You see, that's the amazing thing, because most people of a certain age, whenever, you know, I was watching you do that show, you're assuming that takes up half a year, but you're saying 3 weeks a year for Family Fortunes, then you go off, yeah, and you do all these other amazing things.
Yeah, absolutely. It was such a wonderful show to do for 15 years. Part of people's Saturday nights, people still come up to me and say, we were getting ready on a Saturday night and we would be watching Blind Date and Family Fortunes back to back, and then we'd go out. So it's lovely to have that, but also to know that it gave me the luxury of doing the other things that I wanted to do.
When you talk
I wanted to do Family Fortunes and I loved it.
When you're talking about stuff and stuff sitting side by side and how people perceive things and perceive careers, where does Extras and that episode, how did that change things for you, or did it?
It did, absolutely. I'd just come out of the Big Brother house and I came second to Mark Owen, but I was going some stuff through my life that the phone stopped ringing, basically. So I just thought, well, something's got to happen, or shall I give it up? And then I got this call from Ricky Gervais asking me, you can see there, well, if your listeners are watching on the Zoom, there's the poster there of the Radio Times Extras poster there with all the stars there,
yeah,
and me at the end. So I got this call from Ricky saying, did I want to play a twisted dimension version of myself? And I went to meet him and Stephen, And they took me through it, took me through the ideas of it. And then at the end, as I was walking out, they said, oh, by the way, there's a bum shot. They didn't say it as politely as that, but I'm being considered
nice.
To you listening.
Yeah, you're being 10 to 10 on a Saturday morning. Thanks, Les.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and I said, what? And they said, well, you know, they explained the scene. And then they said, do you want a bum double? I said, no, I'll do it myself. It'll be fine.
So,
and then, of course, we did Life's Too Short.
And all of these things, you know, show a body of work and then you're ending up doing this. I mean, so you're going to be in Ghost right the way through until the new year, is that right?
Till this, I think it's the week of the 3rd of December. So I'll be at home with the family for Christmas. Touring is just part of what I do. I always get home for the days off. You know, we get Sunday and Monday off. So back at home every week, do the school run, get back to normal life.
Before we let you go, I know you're a lifelong Liverpool fan. How do you think they're going to do this season?
Well, it was a shame last week. I mean, we had that perfect record, same as Man City, and then we dropped it. But let's see. I think it's Bournemouth today, isn't it? So is it today or tomorrow?
Yep. Bournemouth at home, 3 p.m.?
3 p.m., yeah. So I was in Bournemouth last week. We were with the show in Bournemouth last week, so... let's hope that it comes home to us.
Les, look, thank you so, so much for joining us. You can catch Les in Ghost the Musical. It's coming to a theatre near you. Go grab tickets online or where you get them, Les. Thank you so, so much for coming in, fella.
Lovely to talk to you, Patrick.
Cheers. This is the sound of Hattie Whitehead. She will be here in less than an hour, taking your favourite football chants, turning them into a thing of beauty. In a little bit, we call the Five Live Lounge. To give you a little idea how this sounds, here's what happened last week when Cut Capers performed this for Leeds United fans for their winger Dan James.
Oh, what a sound. Speed of light. What a feeling, what a sight. What a feeling, what a doo-doo-doo.
Five Live Lounge coming your way before 11. Before 10, my second guest is an award-winning comedian, an author, a podcaster, a broadcaster, a cricket aficionado. His podcast, The Bugle, over 2 million downloads globally, over a million streams per month. He is the chair of the news quiz on BBC Radio 4. This year they mark the 25th anniversary of his debut at the Edinburgh Fringe. Today he is busy as ever. He's not only starring in the 18th series of Taskmaster, which you can catch every Thursday, 9 p.m. on Channel 4. He is also about to embark on his biggest UK and Irish stand-up tour to date with the show The Zeitgeist from Test Match Special, live from Headingley for the England-Australia game later today. Good morning, Andy Zaltzman.
Good morning. Lovely to be joining you and lovely to be here at Headingley.
I love that. It sounds like you have a different voice, Andy, whenever you do the cricket from the news quiz.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. I'm not sure I've noticed that.
I feel it's whenever you're doing the cricket, it's come in, here we are. Whereas with the news quiz, it's, hey, we're here, it's the news.
Right. Well, maybe that's because cricket is inherently more relaxing than news. So yeah, that probably suffuses into my vocal cords.
How relaxing is it going to be? Australia one up in the series. What are we expecting this time round?
Well, yeah, it's an interesting point for England's one day international side. They're in a fairly major period of transition, very inexperienced batting line, missing a few players, either test players being rested, Josh Butler injured. So they don't have anyone who's even scored 1,000 runs in this format. It's one of the least experienced batting lineups they've had. So it's a challenge. They've had a difficult couple of years, a terrible World Cup at the end of last year, having won the previous one. So yeah, it's an interesting period of transition against a pretty strong Australia.
We're going to be talking a bit more cricket after 10 p.m. with you. We'd love to talk about the new tour. This is your biggest tour to date. It is called the Zeitgeist. It starts in November. I'm assuming the entire show is written. It's finished. It's just ready to go.
That is a wrong assumption, Patrick. But then, you know, it's like I said, the show's called The Zeitgeist, so it's really taking the temperature of the world on the day of the show. But that's what I'm telling myself. So there'll be a lot of topical stuff in, as well as some more general. So basically, a stock take of where we are as a species, as a planet, still one of the top three planets in the solar system, and the human race, you know, I think top 10 highest achieving species. We're dropping down the rankings, but so basically seeing where we are as a nation, basically just the state of the world, and there'll be some cricket in it, no doubt, and probably quite a lot of other sport is my refuge from reality.
Well, what I love is the sound of a comedian's voice telling himself that a show that hasn't been completely finished will work itself out based on topical material.
Yes. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's sort of my job, I guess. Job's the wrong word, but... and also the world seems to keep providing news. So, I mean, it doesn't seem a lot of point writing stuff now, bearing in mind how quickly stuff tends to change.
So you're assessing the state of planet Earth. I mean, how does that work at the end? Do you make a decision? Is there a form you're filling in? What way is it like? Is it like when the health inspectors turn up at a restaurant?
Well, I think if that was the case, the world would have been shut down some time ago. So I'm going to be harnessing the power of artificial intelligence to basically find some solutions to the world's biggest problems, as demanded by the audience at each show. So hopefully we'll come out with some positives to build a brighter future for whatever's left.
I mentioned in the intro there, 25 years since you made your debut at the Edinburgh Festival. How has touring life changed for you? How has audiences changed for you?
Well, they've got a little bit bigger. I mean, the first solo show I did in Edinburgh was in 2001. And on my first day there, I'd sold one ticket, and I was doing a show with John Oliver, who I worked with for a number of years before he fled to the US,
and became a huge star.
And so there was John and me on stage, and essentially one paying punter in the audience.
Wow.
So things have gone up since then. I think obviously, you know, comedy's. You know, the live scene has changed quite a bit. I don't know how much the sort of touring scene has changed, but I mean the very first year I went to Edinburgh, 1999, I did a new act competition, and in the final, Jimmy Carr, Russell Howard, Josie Long, David O'Doherty. It was a pretty
whatever happened to any of them?
Good time to be starting.
Brilliant time to be starting. We've got to talk Taskmaster. You're in the new series. Who surprised you most in that cast?
Well, it was I'd not really worked with any of them before, and it was a lot of fun, and yeah, we seemed to gel quite nicely. It was, you know, great working with Rosie Jones, who's I found absolutely hilarious, and obviously Jack D. I've been watching for 30 odd years. I didn't know Emma Siddy and Babatunde before, so it was. It's a fun show to do. It sort of unleashes people's inner idiot, I think, which is a good thing.
Now, were you prepared? I mean, we had Babatunde on the show a couple of weeks ago, and happily, very happy to admit that he was probably the least prepared person on that show.
Well, I think I was quite prepared. My niece is a massive fan of the show, so it sort of briefed me quite comprehensively on what was required, and I'd watched it over the years, so I knew that, yeah, I mean, you've got to embrace the humiliation that is inevitably coming your way, and you can't fight it. You have to just let it come to you and deal with it, and so yeah, it was Yeah, it was great fun, actually.
Okay, if you had to make it a choice, more fun Taskmaster or more fun Celebrity Mastermind?
Taskmaster, definitely. Well, it lasts longer, so it's, you know, definitely. And there's less pressure. Celebrity Mastermind, you know, there's that sense that if you get an easy question wrong, you'll never fully be able to look your children in the face again. Whereas Taskmaster, you can make the biggest idiot of yourself, and that's the purpose of the show.
Okay, Andy, is that a little bit of warm-up going on there in the background in the nets?
Yes, you might hear the clonk of leather on Willow. It looks like Steve Smith's warming up in the net over to the left, England's players on the right. So, yeah, the game starts at 11 o'clock. A few people trickling in. So it's looking good.
Andy's going to stay with us after the news. We're going to be playing a little bit of Beat the Commentator with Andy. If you want to catch Andy's new show in November, go to andyzaltzman.co.uk for tickets. You can also catch him, Taskmaster, every Thursday, 9 p.m. on Channel 4. Still to come, we have John Turode, Lisa Faulkner and Hattie Whitehead in the Five Live Lounge. Right now, though, it's 10 o'clock, time for your news and sport.
The voice of the UK.
And the home of the Premier League.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
BBC News at 10 o'clock. This is Frances Reid. Fulham Football Club has said it's investigating if anyone at the club's been affected by the allegations relating to the club's former owner, Mohamed Al-Fayed. Dozens of women have alleged they were sexually assaulted by Mr. Al-Fayed when they were working at the department store Harrods. A former manager of Fulham's women's team says special measures were put in place to protect players. The Culture Secretary, Lisa Nandy, says she's working to ensure procedures are in place to prevent misconduct in the future.
My concern is twofold. Firstly, that the victims must have justice, and secondly, that we have to have processes in place to make sure that this can't happen again. These are conversations that I'll have with different sporting bodies. It's really important that we make sure as a government that those processes are in place to protect women and vulnerable people from abuse.
Sir Keir Starmer's announced he'll refuse any further donations of clothes. The Prime Minister's been facing criticism after it emerged he'd received more than £16,000 worth of clothes and glasses. The row threatens to overshadow the Labour Party conference, which is getting underway in Liverpool today. Hezbollah has confirmed a senior military commander, Ibrahim Aqil, was among those killed in an Israeli airstrike in Beirut. A senior UN official has warned the Middle East is at risk of a conflict that could dwarf the devastation in the region so far. Our international editor, Jeremy Bowen, is following developments.
What's been happening this week, I think, is Israel trying to break out of the status quo and do some real damage to their enemies. Now, they've done the damage, but they haven't changed that status quo. And that's why there are fears about the prospect of a military incursion into Lebanon. And that is something that Israel's Western allies are against, but it may happen. And it's part of what is looking like a very dangerous slide towards all-out war in the region.
Hundreds of paratroopers are jumping from planes over the Netherlands this morning to mark the 80th anniversary of